Hey everybody, Stu Smith and Jeff Nichols here with another Tactical Fitness Report. And today we're going to start a new series. And this one is really a good one for those of you who are considering military, law enforcement, firefighter preparation, you know, and preparing for those professions. But we're going to do it in three parts. And here's why. Because both Jeff and I have seen all three of these. And the unique thing about it is I've seen all three of them make it through training. Now, there are some outliers there, and we'll explain. But we'll call this one the Goldilocks series because I've seen people who are way underprepared. And statistically speaking, they just do not make it. I've seen people overprepared. And statistically speaking, they wind up actually getting injured and may be medically disenrolled. And then I've seen people who are just right, just perfectly prepared physically. And then there's a kind of an extra component that, I mean, the reason why I've seen all three of these make it through is there is an uncanny, undescribable mental toughness proponent that, you know, like I said, it's not really part of this little scenario, which we'll try to get into some of it. But really, the key right now, what Jeff and I want to do is break this down into unprepared, prepared, and just right. So today's show is going to be on the underprepared candidate for whatever selection you're thinking.
Yep. I want you guys to kind of keep in mind, and Stu and I mentioned this or talking a bit about it off camera, is it's kind of a perspective thing. And what I mean by that is that underprepared might be right what it sounds like, just everything, like every aspect of your training is unprepared. That's not all. That's actually the lesser of the case when it comes underprepared. The more prominent sort of examples of being underprepared is like someone that is a good runner, for example, but they keep having leg issues. Well, they're preparing for leg strength. They maybe should be doing a bit of resistance training to improve their running because they got to improve their running strength. So that's underprepared. Or it's like, well, you know, I'm just going to swim a little bit because I'm okay and I don't really care about it. Or you can pick any scenario, but just understand underprepared is underprepared. So what I typically tell people, recently especially, it just kind of came to me and I said, hey, if you train your weaknesses all the time, you won't have any weaknesses. Or if you start off your training by training your weaknesses, after a 6, 8, 10 months, you won't have any weaknesses.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I mean by unprepared. It's typically not everything. Because most people that go in, of the five things that's being tested, if we're using the PST as an example, typically most people that email Stu and I, they usually are pretty decent at one or two of them.
Yeah.
It's just then the question, I go, what should I do, Jeff? Or what should I do, Stu? I go, well, the numbers are saying that you're just, these three really need your primary focus. So focus on those. Not to say you're going to omit other things, but whatever you're weakest on, start with that.
Yeah, that's a really good point. You know, like PST weaknesses should be handled long before you even talk to a recruiter.
Yes.
Right? Because here's why. You know, this is also not only is it unprepared or even prepared, you know, we're talking about the phases of tactical fitness. So you're going to be stuck in phase one for a significant amount of time, you know, if you are trying to lose weight, or you're unable to get to a pool regularly, right? You know, those type of things can stall your preparation in getting to the training, you know, altogether. You know, we're not just talking about getting through the training. You may not even make it to the training because you're unable to prepare properly, right? So, you know, with the PST, it's pretty simple. You know, it's run, swim, pull up, push up, sit ups. You know, those, you know, can be handled, you know, in a progressive program, you know, 12 weeks, 16 weeks, you know, depending on who you are, you know, you can get those handled out pretty quick. You know, however, the next phase is when the weaknesses really start to show themselves. Like once you get past the PST and you got a legitimate competitive score, now where are your other weaknesses? You know, how are you underpreparing for 4 mile timed runs, 2 mile ocean swims with fins, load bearing exercises, logs on your shoulders, logs over your head, boats on your head? You know, all of those things will can crush a running athlete. You know, might not hurt the football playing athlete, but the 4 mile timed runs and the 2 mile swims might take the strength training athlete, you know, as a, you know, challenge them. You know, I personally was in that category. I was in that category of where, you know, every run was, okay, this is my challenge. This is my little gut check. You know, I don't want to fail this run. I want to, and I don't want to just barely pass it. I want to have some little gravy in there. So every one of those events, you know, was like my little gut check to have to put out. You know, the right. PTs, not too bad. Swims, felt really good. O courses, felt really good. Even log PT. I mean, I never want to say log PT was easy, and I never will, you know. But, you know, I remember, you know, finishing a log PT session and I'm just saying, oh, man, I felt like I've been in the weight room, you know, and I hadn't been in the weight room for quite a while because I was transitioning into this, you know, triathlete mode for so long. So, you know, like I said, I'm kind of rambling here a little bit, Jeff, but you know, taking these weaknesses that I knew that I had, which was the endurance side, and focusing on them for quite a while. You know, it you know, I had college to finish, so I had a couple of years to really focus on it, and that really helped. So right. Give yourself time, be patient.
Yeah, and so the transition right off that is that the one of the primary solutions to combating being unprepared is establishing a realistic timeline, right? If you, and that's for the only flip side of that is someone that's like 25, 26 running out of time and unprepared to that point, you really got to look and go, can this be done in a short period of time? You know, 6-8 months. It depends. Depends on the state of readiness, really. It depends on a lot of things. But reality is that if you establish, you know, that probably the average person that's preparing for special forces selections of sorts are around 18 years old, you have a lot of time to prepare. And because then my response typically for a lot of people that asks about, well, can this be done and can that be done? And I say, well, you know, people, you know, buds, for the example, 84%, something like that, fail every single class, quit or fail. There is a big percentage of that 84% that I could probably make an argument. Stu and I both could probably make an argument that it's primarily based off of lacking of preparation, or in the same breath, they focus too much on the PST in their year prep.
Yes.
And that's the thing, is because the guys at Great Lakes are very capable of preparing you all for buds.
Yep.
The slippery slope is that those guys are only given 12 weeks to help prepare you. But that's the conundrum, is there's so much focus on numbers, 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 numbers. And you get the end of it. It's like this, I guess. The example is the NFL Combine. The NFL Combine is a many, many tests. That the truth is this: they already pretty much know these guys and what they perform because they already had their pro days at the universities. They all done more than one pro day typically, so they already know. All they're really checking, well, it's a business, number one, and two, they're just seeing if these guys, because there's usually a good bit of time between their pro day and the combine. There might be 6-8 weeks depending on how well their college did in the bowl series or whatever. So there might be 2 months. These guys, did they do their pro day and then like slack off and then show up the NFL combine ill prepared? That's really what's the test. It's a test of preparation, right? So that's where I would look at you, the guys potentially preparing for buds or SF, Ranger School, whatever it is, are you actually preparing for buds? Are you only preparing for the PST / the combine? Like, what And here's the deal. The reality is this, and Stu and I talked about this last week off camera. Maybe it's a topic worth talking about. If you train for BUDS properly, you know, the reality is you don't need to train for the PST.
Right.
Not really. You might want to like run through it and see, you know, make sure you're doing that. You're meeting the standard for the push-up in terms of position and numbers. Like this, you know, experience it. Okay. I got to go do a 500 meter swim. You got to do those things. Yeah. To test them, see what you're at. But if again, a marathoner or any athlete for that matter, right? Their preparation is for the opportunity to play in the game or run the race, but they don't take the game or the race and just repeat it every single day.
Yeah.
It does not work.
You know what? That's a really good point. The folks over at Great Lakes, their pre-BUDS program, their job is to get you through that phase two part of tactical fitness. They're trying to get you through BUDS or prepare you to be able to get through BUDS. Now, the recruiter side, they're trying to get you to BUDS, and they're going to focus on that PST. Here's what I recommend so you're not underprepared on phase two. All right, you're going to be prepared on phase one. That's the easy thing, you know, especially if you show up, you know, having trained for 6 months on the PST. You show up on day one, you take the PST, and you crush it. And now you kind of have this nice little plateau of PST scores that are in the competitive range, and you just keep them there. But you now have this all this time and delayed entry program to focus on getting through BUDS, right? Start working on, you know, shoulder stability and, you know, for logs over your head. And, you know, we do a lot of sandbag work with walking lunges with sandbags in front of you, like you're holding a log, or squat carry or shoulder carry sandbags with squats, you know, sit-ups with a sandbag on your chest. You know, all of these are log PT exercises. You know, we even put the sandbag on our head and walk real fast with it, you know, just, and we do neck raises and, you know, all those things. You know, all those exercises right there are just going to help you endure some of the things that tend to really beat up the average student. And we're talking log PT and BUDS. Now, I will tell you this, what gets most people kicked out are failing the runs and the swims.
Yep.
You know, so you also, during all this strength training that you're adding, you got to be adding on longer runs and longer swims with a pair of fins on. Because I remember there was a kid, you know, showed up at our BUDS class, several of them actually, that had never done any swimming with fins until they got issued their duck feet fins at BUDS, and they didn't cry, but they hated it because their ankles were dying, you know, on a, you know, warm-up run swims in the pool. And then we did the bay swim, and then it was a 2 mile ocean swim, and they just never really caught up to being able to pass with a pair of fins on. They were great with a 500 yard swim, but with a pair of fins on, they were unable to keep up,
especially the duck feet.
Yeah,
there's unforgiving, yeah. Super unforgiving. So I think that for me, the thought process is, and this is a fairly hard statement to deliver eloquently, but I'll do my best. Here, the problem is this. One of the big problems I see in this whole process, the official process, and this is not me like sticking my nose up at the military, Navy, or anything, but it's like, the mentors that are in these regions, some are good, some are bad. For the vast majority that I'm kind of auditing from people giving me and Stu a lot of feedback, is that the mentors are driving their curriculum, for lack of a better term, is basically derived from ego. And one of the athletes that I'm working with, enlisted officially, and you know, he crushed the PST. I mean, it embarrassed the PST. He destroyed it.
Nice.
Right. And then he shows up for the for his PT, and for like 3 hours, they just made him run through mud puddles and like do silly shit in this park. And he kept asking, and he's a smart guy. Ken is a very smart, educated person, and socially intelligent too. He goes, all right. So he asks, raises his hand, and he's asked the mentor, and he goes, well, what metrics are we using here, for the next couple of weeks to see if we've been in? Oh, he's like, I don't give a shit about what you say. He's like, you're not going to do this unless you pass my standard. And he goes, well, what's the standard? He goes, I'll fucking tell you the standard when I feel, it's just all bull. It's just straight crap. Right. And, here's my last soapbox speech for today, hopefully, is that.
Hey, real quick, that wasn't a SEAL mentor, was it?
No,
okay.
It wasn't.
I got it. But I got it.
This is reminiscent, same reminiscent of like.
Different South service.
Florida debacle.
Right, different service.
I had a candidate here from the South Florida region that dealt with this. And someone just texted me yesterday, like, yeah, they're having us PT twice a day. How do I maximize? And I go, move states. That's what I mean, honestly, because here's the thing. And I've said this before, maybe when I deliver it this time, it'll make more sense. You can make the argument that BUDS is the most difficult physical training test on the planet. The NFL, use any pro sport. Skill, very much, very, very necessary. But in terms of work ethic, in terms of work volume, it's not that high, especially not compared to BUDS. In these professional settings, these college settings, and now even high school settings in Florida, Southern California, Texas, Ohio, where they have full-time physios and strength coaches at high schools.
Yeah.
They have these professionals managing these not so physically demanding enterprises. But yet the most demanding training on the planet has guys that have no history, no experience, and some have no ethics, teaching you all how to prepare for the world's most demanding training. It's damn, I'll say it. It's fucking criminal. That's what I think it is. I think it's unethical, and I think that the Navy needs to take responsibility because they are responsible because they are official Navy, Army, Marine Corps, Air Force mentors. Take responsibility for if you really want to see these guys succeed, why don't you actually get professionals that know what they're doing, just like professional sports do? And if it's a money issue, you are better off dissolving that mentor community because they are not doing you all a service. Or you set up a standard testing protocol for these mentors that have to have basic, but thorough understanding of tactical strength conditioning. They should all have to go through a TSAC course for the NSCA and have that certification as a TSAC practitioner.
I would agree with that. That's a really good.
Should happen.
That's a minimum standard right there.
The National Strength and Conditioning Association is the governing body for all strength conditioning, not only in professional and amateur sports, but in SOCOM, JSOC, USASOC, AFCOM. The NSCA is the governing body. Why are the people that are driving the world's most demanding training have none of that?
Yeah.
But yet the professionals in SOCOM that are all awesome, the strength coaches, they all have the certification through it.
Yeah. You know what I have seen, and I'm pretty tight with the local mentors here in our region. In fact, one of them I've known many years, and I go talk to the recruiters here in the area. In fact, I just went to a regular DEP program meeting the other day just to help with general fitness with, kids going nuke or kids right. being bosun's mates or whatever. And, they invited me to come in, give a little talk, give a little motivational speech. It was kind of fun. But you talk about a wide variety of preparation or lack of preparation. Literally men, 18, let's call them men, 18, 19 year old men, shaking after 10 pushups, throwing up, before we even started the mile and a half run. And the mile and a half run was turned into probably 50% of it was walking. Right. So there's a level of preparation, lack of preparation that the recruiters receive. Now, mm-hmm. there were no SEAL candidates in this mentor or in this delayed entry program meeting. And they were fairly new. No one was really shipping out soon. But, you know, that's a level of recruit that is coming in. So, you know, I agree with you, you know, that, yes, we could do a better job. You know, not we, but, you know, the military in general could do a better job at preparing the type of candidate that they're receiving. But at the same time, I mean, it kind of goes back to the candidate, yeah. You know, because the candidate is just lost.
Yeah.
You know, and I would say if there's anything that you and I, you know, are doing outside of the military is really trying to get at the candidate, you know, more than the system, because, you know, if we can, you know, educate the candidate a little bit more, that gives the recruiters and the phase two guys at prep, you know, a better candidate to work with.
Yeah.
You know, because they're spending way too much time because they can't pass the PST when they show up. Right. And so that's all they're going to focus on. They're just going to focus on the PST for months and months. And
we talked about this last time, and I think it would be brilliantly successful. And just think about this, folks. What if the Navy said, you get one chance to pass the PST?
Yes.
One
shot.
Because last time I did it and Stu did it, we got one chance.
One shot.
Show up, shut up.
Yeah, none of this like 6 month PST training program.
It's,
you know, that you only meet once every 2 weeks, if at best, you know. But once you crush the PST, you know, you going to these PST training programs aren't really necessary. You need to be doing something else. You know, you need to focus on phase two of training where, you know, what they're doing at prep. You know, they are preparing you really well. If you can get some of that under your belt by the time you get to prep, you're going to crush prep. And then you're going to get to BUDS and you're going to be able to handle yourself at BUDS.
Yeah. The system is set up. And again, you said it right, Stu. Really, this all comes down to education. But at the same time, understand if you're in college and you want to be an engineer, you better be taking math classes.
Yes. Right?
If you want to be a SEAL and you're showing up, your mentor has no idea how to properly train you, has no basis knowledge of physiology, exercise physiology, human anatomy, load carriage. If they don't understand what the Krebs cycle is, you probably shouldn't be listening to this human being, right? This is, it's in the SEAL teams, we had the best shooting instructors in the world teach me and Stu. I had the best skydiver, literally the best skydivers in the world teaching me how to skydive. Why?
Yeah.
Because we're expected to perform at a very high level. Why are we having Joe Schmuckatelli kick you guys in the ass for 3 hours in a park? For what? What's their measurement? Next week, what are we doing? Okay, why are we doing this? Well, it's because it's going to improve this and this. No, why? Because my ego is so big and I'm going to just degrade these young men. No. Educate. If you aren't educating your people, shame on you.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I would say, you know, with what we do here, I am a coach.
Yes.
You know, I am not an instructor. I am not a BUDS instructor. You know, I don't try to be a drill sergeant. You know, it is coaching. You know, if we're doing a workout and I see you're doing squats wrong, you're going to get corrected.
Yeah.
Right? That is coaching. Right. Yep. And I think they're lacking a little bit of coaching.
You're right. I would bet any amount of money that I possess that if you and I, independently or collectively, we're going to give it a pool of 100 random candidates across the country that want to go to BUDS, I am 100% certain I could get them PST and BUDS ready in a reasonable amount of time. Yes. 100% of them, not 60, not 20. You get me 100 random people that want to go to BUDS of varying ages, I can guarantee you I can get them to pass and exceed the standard of the PST within a year or 18 months.
I agree. However, there's one thing on that, and this is the mystery factor on all of that. I have had many people show up to my workouts and they never come back, right? And they they kind of self-select, you know what I mean? And they decide, yeah, maybe this isn't for me, right? And you know, they see where they need to be 6 months down the road with the guys that are getting ready to leave. You know, they show up on day one and can't finish a 500-yard swim. You know, they don't have the, you know, wherewithal to grow, you know, and to be part of that. So, you know, I agree with you 100%. If I get some, you know, a lot of guys, I'm talking from
a physical standpoint, just like,
absolutely,
we're not talking about intrinsic motivation.
Yeah, I got you.
If you had 100 people that were truly intrinsically motivated to go to Buds, and they're all 18 to 22, varying levels of training, granted, they're all going to take a little bit different time, each one of them potentially, but to think that, because this is the words from the guys at Great Lakes, are like, we are getting people completely ill-prepared for Buds.
Yes.
And they only have 12 weeks. Well, that responsibility falls on the Department of the Navy, because the Department of the Navy is paying these mentors.
Yeah. Well, I agree 100%. You know, also falls on
the candidate.
I want to beat up the candidate more so much than the Navy. However, the Navy obviously sees the problem, but they're not fixing the problem.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Who's to blame, right? It's both. Certainly. Right.
Yeah.
I'm hard on both sides.
Yeah.
Because you've done it way more than I have over the years, but yeah, someone shows up in the morning and you're like, you probably know right away. It's like, this guy won't be here by the end of the week. You can pick those out for the most part, or at least you can start seeing it in the same way that you put me in a kill house with a bunch of candidates and have them run two man pistol. Give me 10 minutes with them, and I'll be like, this guy doesn't have a chance. You can just see it. I don't know why, but you know, for the most part. But again, kind of getting back on track, is that this all comes down collectively. I have a personal responsibility to deliver the best information I can. So does Stu. So do the mentors. So do the guys at Great Lakes. So does the Department of the Navy, right? Or whatever you want to call it, right? The Navy. I don't know. But these aren't mysteries, is what I'm saying. If you're ill-prepared, if you're underprepared, right? The PST numbers are advertised and broadcast at exhaustion.
Yes. Everybody knows what the PST is. And if you don't, guess what? You are not ready.
Yeah.
If you don't know what PST is, mom and dad
are talking to us and that you won't, you're not ready.
Yeah.
It's just, there's all these things and that's what I mean is, you as a candidate have got to look at these mentors and go, hey, what are the testing protocols outside of the PST? Why are we doing this? And as a teacher, right, which, you know, is mentor, teacher, or coach, whatever we're calling ourselves, it is your job to deliver the information, to educate, because you know why? You can't hold anyone accountable if they don't have the information. That's as much physical as mental, right? You can't ask people to go jump off this bridge if you don't tell them why it's so important. And you can't just say, well, you're just going to have to do this at Buds. Yeah. That's the test. Buds is not preparation. Buds is the test.
Yeah.
So the preparation shouldn't be a secret, and it shouldn't be randomized. It should be structured, should be methodical. You should have the wherewithal as a coach and teacher to make changes, corrective changes, to optimize adaptation.
And depending on your candidate's weaknesses.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's people act like people, I get very surprised still. Maybe I shouldn't be surprised anymore, because people still come and email Stu and I surprised as to why they've been in the mentor pipeline for 4 months and they're getting worse. And I say, okay, what's your training policy like? Oh, we gut check every day for 2 hours. And I did flutter kicks today for 1 hour. That's all I got to say about that.
Yeah.
So It's not meant to be a negative thing, folks, because like I say all the time, you've got to be an active participant. And if you, and again, that's kind of where Stu and I say, crush the PST before you see a mentor. None of this would be an issue then.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the solution. And that's what Stu is right on. Candidates, don't go see a recruiter until you are exceeding the PST standard. Simple. Don't do it.
Right.
Because history is showing us that very few mentors are capable of training you for even the PST, let alone BUDS. Because this mentorship program has been around for 10 years.
Yeah.
And there's been a zero increase in performance at BUDS. Zero. To me, that is a huge failure. If you look at Stu's record, it's better than, 16%, right? It's better.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying, folks. It's not a mystery.
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe someday I'll be at 16%. I don't know. I have no idea. But the point is like, I really am, and I know Stu is, and we're giving everything we can to give you guys honesty.
Yeah, I have been, I'd say this month, I've really come down pretty hard on the phase one of tactical fitness preparation and the candidate in all my writings. This is probably the first time Jeff and I, maybe second time Jeff and I have really talked about it a little bit, but and probably the last month on military.com, that's all I've been writing about, navigating yourself through this journey of phase one, phase two, phase three of tactical fitness. And the common denominators for all of these, failures that are so typical is, your lack of preparation and failure to really understand what it means to be in BUD shape. And I think, in this little series that we're making, we're going to talk about the over-prepared, right? And what it is to be in BUD shape. So stay tuned on for those, because next week we're going to talk about the guys that are constantly doing gut checks, and they're over prepared and what that brings, that brings its own little issues, as well. And there are some people that make it through with, having been over prepared and training like a bunch of gut check guys, but it typically comes with very serious injuries, not just overuse injuries, but injuries that, are.
You guys think you're going to come out of BUDS in good shape?
Yeah, but no, BUDS kicked your ass, man. I remember leaving BUDS.
That's the conundrum.
I didn't want to work out for like a month and a half, 2 months. It was hard to go back and work out again like I used to.
Yeah.
All right. So that was the underprepared. And this little three-part series here for the next week or so, Jeff and I will discuss what the other two part of the Goldilocks syndrome of the special warfare candidate looks like.
Yep.
So
perfect.
All right.
Looking forward to it, Stu. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Jeff.